endless alternatives for absolutely everything. And while this is certainly one of the great strengths of our modern economy, this mentality has the potential to spill over into every aspect of our lives, including our faith. For many people today, religion is seen as simply another commodity which should appeal to our own personal tastes and interests. And so you have things like Christianity and Islam and Buddhism, Hinduism, and even atheism. And these are all viewed as equal and valid options in the marketplace of faith. And we want to be able to choose whichever one we like the best. But that's not what Paul presents to us in this morning's reading from Romans. Instead, Paul gives us an either-or proposition. It is death or it is life. It is condemnation or it is justification. It is Adam or it is Christ. For Paul, there is no middle ground. There is no door number three. It is one or the other. And so this morning I'd like to take a look at these two options and what they mean for us today. Paul introduces his argument in verse 12 of our reading from Romans when he says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given." Paul here begins by pointing out the reality of our condition. We do not somehow become sinners when we make bad choices or make decisions that aren't good. Being a sinner is not something we become because of what we do. Being sinners is a condition we are born into. From the moment we draw our first breath, we are already sinners. It's part of our fallen human nature. It's something that's been inherited from our first parents. And it's not something that we can overcome by our own efforts, no matter how hard we try. This condition is universal to all human beings, whether we know it or not. The law, after all, isn't what makes us sinners. We don't become sinners because we break the law. The law is simply there to show us the extent of our sinfulness. And this is our reality, and it's something we can't escape. And of course, the consequence of sin is ultimately death. Now, thankfully, Paul puts forth a second option. Starting in verse 15, he says, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." So although Adam's disobedience brought death to all who would come after him, Jesus brings life to all who will come to him in faith. So while Adam's sin brings with it judgment and condemnation, the free gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ brings justification. Now these are two concepts that we really need to unpack a bit, these concepts of condemnation and justification. Paul is using legal terminology here. These terms, condemnation and justification, in ancient Roman culture referred to a person's status under the law. When a person was condemned, it meant that the evidence had been weighed against him or her, and it had been determined that the individual was guilty of wrongdoing and had to be punished. Now, since ancient Rome really didn't have what we would think of as a modern penal system, a condemned person was usually condemned to death and would be executed fairly quickly. On the other hand, a person who was justified, he or she had been acquitted of all charges of wrongdoing, and as a result, this person was free and had life. A justified person did not need to suffer the same consequences as a condemned person. Now, it's important to understand, however, that these were legal and not moral statuses. It had nothing to do with the moral condition of a person or a person's soul. And this is important to understand for Paul's analogy, because he's not talking about how we have behaved or about the moral righteousness of our souls, but rather he's talking about the legal status, the legal condition that we find ourselves in. As sons and daughters of Adam, we all stand condemned before we even take our first breath. It's not the result of anything we have done, but rather it is the consequence of Adam's sin from so long ago. And in this regard, our evil behavior and our poor choices are actually not the cause of our sinfulness, but rather the result of our sinful nature. It's not that we do bad things and thus we become sinners. It's that we are already sinners, and sinners do bad things. In other words, because we are condemned, we live and we behave as condemned men and women. Now, there seems to be something inherently unfair about this. How is it that we can be condemned without doing anything to deserve it? Well, thankfully, our justification is just as unfair as our condemnation. Between verses 15 and 17, Paul uses this phrase, free gift, or charisma in the Greek, five different times. Our justification, our acquittal from the consequences of original sin, comes not from anything we could ever do, but rather it is a free gift that God offers to us. It is based not on our own inherent righteousness, because we have no inherent righteousness, but rather it is based on the righteousness of Christ. Starting in verse 17, Paul says, "For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." Even though our sinful nature and the resulting estrangement from God is a condition universal to all of us, God in His goodness has provided a solution to this problem, an antidote to original sin, if you will. And that solution is Jesus Christ. Through His death and resurrection, He offers to us a way to reverse the consequences of Adam's sin. In verse 19, we are told, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." So sinfulness and righteousness, neither one of those things are things that we simply become based on what we do. Rather, we are made sinners. We are heirs of Adam's fall by virtue of our human birth. But we are made righteous through Jesus Christ. Neither one of these options is the result of anything we could ever do in and of ourselves. But both options have eternal consequences for our individual souls. And so the question we must all ask ourselves is, what condition am I in? Am I still in Adam and under the condemnation of sin? Or am I in Christ Jesus and under the justification of righteousness? Those are the only two options we have available to us. And thankfully, the gospel is good news for those who are in Adam and for those who are in Christ. Now, if you're in Christ, if you've been baptized into the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the good news for you is that your status as justified before God is secure. Let me say that again. Your status is secure. And for many people in the church, that moment that the Holy Spirit comes to us can be an incredibly emotional experience. And unfortunately, too often we associate the emotion with God Himself. And so we spend the rest of our Christian life chasing after that feeling. But I'm here to tell you that we need to separate our justification with a feeling or an emotion. Feelings, after all, are temporary. They're conditional, and at times they can be deceptive. Our justification is not a feeling that we have. It's not a sense that we're given, but rather, it is a status. And so, it makes no difference if we feel it or not. When Lisa and I got married, I was granted the status of husband. And at first, it was all very new and exciting. I suddenly had this much prettier roommate. She smelled really good. We had a new apartment and these plates with big blue flowers on them. It was awesome. Being a newlywed is great. Now, after 25 years of marriage, those feelings have changed. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. Nobody expects people to feel like newlyweds throughout the course of a lifelong marriage. But even though those feelings have changed, my status as Lisa's husband is still exactly the same because it's permanent. It's not based on how I feel. It's not based on how Lisa feels. It is a permanent status that has been granted to each of us. We don't need to come and get remarried every Sunday in order to be husband and wife. We don't need to be on a perpetual honeymoon. The same is true when it comes to our justification by faith. It is a free gift of God's grace, and thus it is permanent and is secure whether we feel it or whether we don't. Now, don't get me wrong, emotions are great, and the Lord certainly can use them. But your emotions will never affect your status as justified before God. Now, flipping the coin to the other side, if you are still in Adam, there is good news for you as well. Although you currently stand condemned before God, you don't have to stay there. The Holy Spirit has drawn you here today because He has another option for your life. Now, you may be thinking, not me. I'm simply too far gone. If you only knew the things that I have done, the mistakes that I have made, the evils that I have committed in my life, you would know that there's simply no way that God can accept me now. My friends, I've known far too many people who have that attitude, that think that their sin is bigger than our God. But my friends, there is no sin too big. There is no sinner too bad that God cannot redeem an individual. that God cannot justify them before himself. Jesus offers you a new status today. There are no prerequisites to justification. We don't have to be perfect in order to receive God's grace, but instead it is through his grace that we are then made perfect in his eyes. I heard a story recently about a young man who spent much of his childhood in and out of juvenile detention facilities. And through the work of a local pastor, he came to faith in Jesus Christ, and he asked to be baptized. And when the pastor asked him why he wanted to be baptized, this 15-year-old kid replied by saying, "Because the old man needs to die." Wow. My friends, if you are still in Adam, if you are still under that condemnation of Adam's sin, the old man in you needs to die. And it needs to die today. Only Jesus Christ offers us life, not just in the here and now, but for all of eternity. Let the old man die and receive the status that has been given to you by your heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And then live into that new life of faith. During communion this morning, we will have prayer teams available in the back of the church. If you find yourself in that position, if you are still under the condemnation of Adam's sin, I want to challenge you to go back to one of those prayer teams while we're receiving communion this morning and ask them to pray for you. Ask them to pray that you might put off that old man in favor of the new. Embrace that new status that God offers you through Jesus Christ. In our world of endless options, there are only two that really matter. Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Do you stand before God condemned or do you stand before him justified? If you are in Christ, rejoice that your status as sons and daughters of God is secure. Stop chasing a feeling or an experience. Stop trying to earn God's favor and simply rest in the security of your salvation. If you are still in Adam, make this the day that the old man dies. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and accept the grace, the gift of grace that he offers through the cross and the empty tomb. In our two other lessons this morning, we see Satan tempt both Adam and Jesus. In our first reading from Genesis, Satan has victory over Adam and sin enters the world as a result. But in our third reading from Matthew, the victory belongs to Jesus and Satan is defeated. Jesus offers that victory to all of us who come to him in faith. His triumph is our triumph. During this season of Lent, we will focus on our sin and our need for redemption. We will focus on Jesus' suffering and death. But remember that the cross on Good Friday always leads to the empty tomb and resurrection on Easter Sunday. That is the victory that we are all invited to share in. Thanks be to God. Amen.